Hello, this is Arnott McEntee of the Family Bible Hour. And once again, it's my pleasure to welcome you to Study Time. We're delighted you've requested this cassette, and it is our prayer that as you study it, you'll be richly blessed. This is part of our expanding cassette ministry. We make these cassettes available without cost to any listener who writes, and we're delighted you've done so. Today, Boyd Nicholson speaks to us of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a thrilling subject. We're delighted to know from the inspired text that the one who ascended is coming back again. Now, as you study today, you'll study the message given by Boyd on our program 1981, and you're enjoying it from our cassette 221. We're thrilled that you've requested it. We'll value your prayers on behalf of the Family Bible Hour as you study with us today. Now, may the Lord richly bless you as you turn to your Bible, your cassette, and study guide.
Thank you, Arnott. How dark was that dreadful day of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus? How utterly grief-stricken were the disciples that had followed Jesus in the way? Their hopes of a kingdom and of glory were all buried in a cold grave outside the city of Jerusalem. Their beloved Lord Jesus was dead, and they were alone in the midst of an antagonistic society that hated them as it had hated their master. Then, on the first day of the week after the crucifixion, the one who had died was seen alive again. He appeared to Mary in the garden, to Simon Peter, and to two other disciples as they walked to their home in Emmaus. These disciples, their hope revived, their joy restored, and their faith vindicated, returned to Jerusalem to find the few fearful disciples who were in hiding there to bring them the wonderful news, "The Lord is risen indeed." What a change that made in everything. Even as they were recounting the recent events of the Emmaus Road, suddenly he appeared right there in the room before their eyes, and showed them his hands and his feet, which had been nailed to the cross for sinners and for sin. Then we read in the book of the Acts, chapter 1 and verse 3, "He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." This is what distinguishes the Christian faith from all other religions. These all look back to some great man who has long since died. The message of the gospel of Christ is that he died for sin and for sinners, but that he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. Burdened men and women, boys and girls, do not need religion, be it ever so wonderful, ever so ancient. They do not need dead idols, dead rituals, dead works. They need a living Savior. Man's religion is, in fact, a counterfeit of God's Christ. Religion says, do all you can do, be all you can be, give all you can give, then at the end, if you have sincerely done enough, been enough, given enough, maybe God will receive you into his holy heaven. Nowhere, I repeat, nowhere in all the Bible can you find such a message. It is a lie, widespread, wicked, and very ancient, but it is not from God, for God cannot lie nor go back on his word. The Bible does clearly say, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Good works are not, and can never be, a means of salvation. Good works are, in fact, the fruit, the essential evidence of salvation already possessed. God's message to mankind is the gospel. It proclaims a Savior who came into the world to save sinners. He made this possible by his death on the cross and his mighty resurrection. All who will turn to God from their own sins, their own idols, their own religious works, as a means of salvation, and who will receive his beloved Son by faith as God's only way of salvation, will be saved from their sins here and now and be received at last into glory where Christ sits on the right hand of God eternal in the heavens. The Lord Jesus led his disciples out of the city that had rejected him, to the Mount of Olives to give them his last words on earth. Those last words were words of instruction. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, they must not leave Jerusalem until they had received the promise of the Father, spoken by John Baptist, that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and endued with power from God to serve him. The religious world has made a monstrous caricature of this mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit and turned many impressionable people away from the clear teaching of Holy Scriptures, replacing the Word of God with denominational doctrines and cultish diversions. Lord willing, we shall look at this subject in our next broadcast. The last words of the risen Savior on earth were also words of anticipation. The Lord Jesus had come, declaring a kingdom of which he was the king, and that all who followed him would be his subjects. The Jews, who had suffered under the heels of oppressors for centuries, at first welcomed this proclamation. They thought, of course, of an immediate deliverance and the restoring of the glory of the kingdom as it was in the days of Solomon. However, the Lord Jesus was teaching something far more wonderful. This kingdom was to be first a spiritual kingdom where righteousness was the rule. The way into that kingdom was not by holding some religious creed, a membership in a religious society, be it ever so wonderful, but, as he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, we enter into that kingdom by being born again into it. The words of the Lord Jesus cut right through all the theories and false notions of mankind in the religious pride and piety. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. In spite of the current confusion, misuse, and mockery of the words born again, God's holy word stands firm. If ever you are to enter that kingdom of which the Lord Jesus is the glorious King, then ye must be born again. Still, it seems that the disciples had not yet grasped the full significance of the Lord's proclamation. They expected that he would now, in resurrection power, overthrow the Roman legions and break off their yoke to set up his own kingdom on earth, right then. They asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The disciples never seemed to understand what the Lord Jesus speaks of here. The times and the seasons. God's timing is not bound to the calendar and the clock. He is above the sun, and his kingdom is eternal. He has ordered the procession of events according to his sovereign purposes. The setting up of his kingdom on earth must wait until God does a new thing, never revealed to men before the Lord Jesus came. That is, the forming of his church, of which he spoke to Peter when he said, I will build my church. This wondrous building is not of man's design, it's spiritual. Christ is the chief cornerstone, and it is made up of living stones. These living stones are the true believers in Christ, who have heard and believed the gospel of Christ, and trust in him alone as the only way to the Father. It was Peter who wrote in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 5, Ye also... as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So then the last words of the Lord on earth were words of commission, as he sent the disciples forth empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel even in an ever-expanding mission field. This Family Bible broadcast is part of that great outreach, as it's translated into 19 languages weekly, and reaches every continent by the wonders of radio. As you hear it now, and if you have never believed in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, this is your call, from the risen head of the church, through his servants today, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As the Lord Jesus finished these last words, his feet began to leave the ground. And as they watched, amazed, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He had come down from heaven, and was returning home. As the disciples gazed in wonder at the sight of the ascending Christ, two heavenly messengers appeared in human form with the question, "Why stand ye gazing into heaven?" Why indeed? It was not the miracle of the ascension that astonished them. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him walk on the sea. Why were they amazed? Surely they must have wondered. With Calvary behind him, death and the grave conquered beneath him, with a glorious kingdom before him, awaiting his coronation and a whole world around him to hear the gospel, why was he leaving? He was leaving the earth for a time, that's true, but he was not leaving them. He had said, "Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." He would never leave them. It was just that his visible bodily presence would not be seen by them. They must live by faith now. But he would continue his great work through his people by the power of the Holy Spirit. The answer to their wondering hearts came through those heavenly messengers. His audible voice would no longer be heard by his people generally on the earth. Nevertheless, those concluding words were part of his final message to his own. They were words of revelation. "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So the king would return, the kingdom would be set up on the earth, his enemies would be converted or conquered. He would stand again upon the earth that had rejected him, not as a carpenter of Nazareth, but as the Lord of glory. Dear listener, this is a golden opportunity presented to you now by the gospel call for you to repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, by faith, believing on him with all your heart for time and eternity as the only way of salvation. If you do, you will be born again into his eternal kingdom. You will see the king in his beauty. You will reign with him through everlasting days. This is the promise of the King of Kings, the Redeemer, the living Savior, the exalted Christ. May you be wise and do so while there is time and opportunity. O God, our Father, we pray thou wilt bless thy word and honor the risen Christ. For we ask it in his precious name.